Hallelujah. Good to see you. Thank you, guys. Wonderful. Praising the Lord. It's always good. Amen. Just taking a wee look around to see who's in this morning. Just, this is so I know who to stare at the most with this sermon. Yeah, you, definitely you. We are 4 weeks. We've been talking about the limitless faith, limitless wisdom, limitless grace. And today we're going to look a little bit at the unlimited love of God. Praise God. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think from time to time we all need a little bit of a reminder about how great God's love is for us. Is that right? How many of you know His love is boundless? Amen. How many of you know His love knows no limits? Praise God. Does His love ever exceed your expectations? Oh my. His love is beyond measure. According to Scripture, He loves us with an everlasting love. Oh, I can't be in a Pentecostal church. I said He loves us with an everlasting love. My goodness, I'm glad about that one today. But His love for you and I is also a forgiving love. Amen. A forgiving love. A love that doesn't quit when you're weak. Hello? A love that doesn't diminish when your faith has been tested or it's wavering. No, it doesn't do that. A love that never gives up, never lets go. How many of you really understand the amazing love of Jesus for you today? Well, let me testify then. Hallelujah. I will testify. His love saved me from the depths of my own sin. His love, it was His love that picked me up. No one else picked me up. Some people tried. That wasn't so easy because I was heavy. I'm light now. You know, He saved me from a life of the eternity of hell. That's my testimony. I was sinking deep in sin. You know that? Sinking deep in sin, but His love found me and rescued me. You know something else? I don't have to work at getting His love. Are you hearing this? Don't have to work at it. I just have to believe in Jesus Christ. That's all I have to do. And place my faith in the one who died for me. Praise God. And this is how God showed His love among us. 1 John 4, verses 9, 10. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Amen. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Praise God. We will never, ever, ever experience a greater love than the one demonstrated for us through Christ's willingness to die on the cross. It says in John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this. To lay down one's life for his friends. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad today that Jesus laid down His life for you? Yes. Praise God. You know, He died to set you free. Oh, I'm feeling really Spirit-filled this morning. Could get exciting in here today. Hallelujah. You know, He died to set you free. What does that mean for you and I today? You can be free from your worry. Oh, anyone worried today? Some might be. Died to set you free from your pain, from your anxiety. Hello? Free from all your fears and free from the death that our sin truly deserves. Jesus Christ, dearly beloved, He came to set you free. He states it Himself, Jesus, in John 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I might work myself up to a frenzy this morning, I don't know. Who can describe the measure of the love of God? Who amongst us can? God is at his very core love. The essence of God is love, but bring it down a notch, Pastor. The fact that God does love does not mean that everything is always sweet. Just because he loves us, it doesn't mean it's always rosy in the garden, does it? No. Not always happy in our life. And that God's love, listen to this, could not possibly allow punishment for sin. Understand this today, dear ones. God's holiness demands that all sin is punished. But God's love, praise God, provided a way for forgiveness and for cleansing. It was the love of God that sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you and I. So no matter, here's some really fabulous news for us again today. No matter what sin you have committed, no matter how black, how dirty, how shameful or terrible that may be, God still loves you. And when I think of that, oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. But when that strikes a chord in your heart that I am loved unconditionally by God, it puts a little two-step in your feet and makes you want to dance just a little bit. It worries me that we dance at parties. And it worries me even more we don't dance in the presence of God. So much is his great love for you and I today. Yet this immeasurable, unmistakable, and unending. This love that reaches, listen to this, this love that reaches wherever man is, it can be rejected by man also. See, God's not going to force himself. He's not. He's not going to force himself upon anyone or against anyone's will. It's simply our part to believe. It's your part to receive. Nobody can do that for you. I can't do that for you. So what then are we about to say? Or what can we truly say about the love of God? What is the capacity of the love of God? Well, God is eternal in his being. Amen. He is unlimited in his power. He is infinite in his knowledge. The capacity of God goes beyond anything that we can fathom here on earth. And it is even more than the angels can fathom in heaven. So great is his love for us. And you might find, you might find yourself saying from time to time, I can't feel anything. Oh, I don't feel anything. I come down to church some Sundays, Pastor, and I feel numb. I don't feel anything. But I know that God loves me because he sent his son Jesus to die for me. Christ gave himself for me. And this is true God love. Even when you don't feel it, he still loves you. See, we all have difficult days, don't we? Praise God. We all have times of grief and we all have times of somewhat hardship when our emotional system has been hit so hard that we can't feel anything. Who's ever been there? So we still need to be able to answer the question, how do I know that God loves me? How do I know this is true? And this is of huge importance, because, but also there's much, much more that's described to us in here. See, the love of God is more, much more than a truth just to believe. Where I want to go is this, Pastor Robert. I want to enjoy the gift of love that's been received. That's what I'm after. And I love this verse. This verse planted in my soul this week, and that's why I feel a little bit excited this morning about the love of God. It says in Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. I'll say it again. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice how these two complement each other so beautifully in giving us a full and clear picture of the love of God. The love of God was proved on the cross. Amen. I said the love of God was proved on the cross, but it is now experienced where? In our hearts. It's now experienced in our heart. The love of God was poured out at the cross by the Son of God, and it is now poured into our hearts by He, the Holy Spirit. And church, let me tell you something. I want to enjoy as much of this love as I possibly can this side of heaven. I want to know much, much more about the love of Jesus. Amen? What about you? Let's look at a wee story. James. Six days before the Passover. You'll know this story and you'll love this story. Jesus is about to go and suffer on the cross. And Jesus comes to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, their brother, whom Jesus had recently raised from the dead. Amen. This was a home where Jesus was loved. I like to go into homes where Jesus is loved. I can feel His presence in those places. So when He arrived, the three siblings give a dinner in His honor. I mean, think about this logically. How do you say thank you to someone who's given you life from the dead? What's the best gift you can give them? But let me tell you something. That's actually the position of every believer. We were once dead, and now we're alive in Christ forevermore. So Mary has an idea, or had an idea. I love this idea. She took a large amount of expensive ointment, and she pours it out on the feet of Jesus. And John chapter 12, verse 3 tells us the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. The house was filled with the aroma of the ointment. You see, I don't know too much about this, gentlemen, so I'm just qualifying this morning. But when perfume is poured out, seemingly, it gets everywhere. It gets everywhere. Every corner of the room is affected. Not just the room they were sitting in. The whole house was filled with the fragrance that had been poured out. And to me, that is an incredibly lovely, beautiful, glorious picture of what happens when the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into every Christian believer. When He pours the love of God by the Spirit into our hearts, it gets everywhere. Everywhere. It cannot be contained. His love cannot be contained at any level. Understand this. Look at it again. The love of God has been poured in by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The love of God is never dribbled. Are you hearing this? I'm dribbling thinking about it. The love of God is never dribbled. It is never dripped. It is never sprinkled into our hearts. It is poured abundantly into our hearts. And when it talks about this, it's talking about the abundance of the love of Jesus being poured into our hearts. Why? So we can love and love and love and keep on loving. Grace, 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 and keep on being gracious. Being wise, being wise, being wise, and being a person of real faith in the kingdom of God. It is poured into our hearts. And this love that we are talking about cannot be contained in a small compartment of my life. No. That's not what I want. I want it all over me. I want every part to be infected by the love of Jesus Christ, by the love of God. So I don't get to pick and choose when I choose to love or not choose to love. Love from the child of God, it just oozes and it oozes and it oozes out of your being. Why? Because you've been saturated, contaminated, affected by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is the love of God into your heart. And once we get that, hallelujah, by the Holy Spirit, our lives are never ever the same again, and we cannot help but love. I want to love. I want to love Him more. I want to love people even more than that. When the love of God is poured out by the Spirit, not some things, but everything is affected. The love of God in all of its wonderful and glorious healing power, permeating every single part of our interior life, our thought patterns, our speech, our memories, and the so on and the so on. You see, the pastor, the preacher, I can talk to you to my heart's content about the love of God, but I do not at any level have the ability to pour this love into you. I can't do that for you. A Christian counselor can point you or direct you to the love of God, but they cannot pour it into your heart. Listen to me today, and that is why we must seek the things of the Spirit. Only the Spirit of the living God can do this for you. We're singing, fill me and you with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Bring a fresh anointing of love into the church today, that we'd be overwhelmed by the love and the peace and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we'd become contagious beings. So when people touch us, they go, ow. Oh, yeah. Wow. I want people to touch me and feel fire. Ooh. Ooh. Believing for it. The Apostle Paul was saying to believers in Rome, here are two things that are true of you in Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen. And God's love has been poured into your hearts. And these things must be true of everyone who is in Christ. Amen. Every believer has tasted something in their life of the love of God. But there's so much more yet, church, that we have not yet tasted. There's something still ahead of us. Amen. There's still so much more for us. The love of God is by far greater than tongue or pen can ever tell. You think about the fastness of that love being poured today into the restricted capacity of the human heart. Oh, church, that is like trying to pour the ocean into a thimble. That's what it's like for you and I. So surely the question that rises up in the heart of every child of God, of every believer, is how can I get more? How can I receive more? Let's go back to that key verse in Romans 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Who are the our into those hearts that the love of God has been poured? Who are the us to whom the Holy Spirit has been given? Who are the people into whose hearts the love of God is poured? And the more we reflect on the marks of these people, I truly believe, the more we'll receive what is promised to us and for us. And we can see the answer right here by looking at the verses that come before and after the great promise of Romans 5. People into whose hearts the love of God has been poured are, number one, we heard this in week one, people who genuinely and authentically exercise faith. Amen. Say faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who are the we that Paul is referring to here? Again, it is the people who exercise genuine faith. We have been justified, praise God, by faith. And the more I exercise faith in my own life, the more I will then experience the absolute abundance of the outpouring of the love of God. And the less I exercise faith, the more restricted my heart will become. Faith is more than saying you believe, it's actually believing. That's what it is. The Christian life is lived by a life of faith. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. No one can believe, listen to this, no one can believe God's truth and Satan's lies at the same time. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. No one can believe God's truth and Satan's lies at the same time. When you are in Christ, God says that you are justified. But Satan says, hey, how can you possibly be? Look at the state of you. You're a freaking mess. Look at the mess of your life. You're all over the shot. That's the words he'll come at you with. To bring you down, tear you down, you're a mess. You're a wreck. Who are we going to believe? Whose report are we going to believe? See, living by faith is all about believing God over all the other voices that surround your life. Hearing the voice of God. There's what the world says you are. There's what your own heart even says you are. There's what Satan, the accuser, the father of lies, says you are. Then there is what Almighty God, your creator, says you are. Faith believes God over all the other voices that try to get into our life. And walking by faith is exercising faith every single day of our life. Who else are the we that Paul is referring to here? Scripture says, people who persevere through suffering. Romans 5, verses 3, 4. We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Praise God. You know, this is a hard lesson to learn because our natural instinct is to say, if God really loved me, why am I suffering like this? Here are people who know what it is to suffer. And yet these people persevere through their suffering. It says again in verse 3, we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Listen to me. This doesn't mean that we should seek to suffer. No, not at all. Because let me tell you something, enough of that will come into your life. Don't have to go seeking that. That will find its way to you in different shapes and forms throughout your life. But here's some revelation for you. It does mean that we must learn how to use it. You hearing this? And here is the principle. When a rose is crushed, hear the word of the Lord this morning now for someone. When a rose is crushed, a beautiful perfume is released that will fill our whole self. Whole self, our house, our earthly body. Here's the lesson, saith the Lord. We find joy in our sufferings because we know that this is the place where we now may find hope to taste more of the love of God poured out into our hearts by the person of the Holy Spirit. Open your heart to the Spirit today. See, the Holy Spirit will not pour the love of God into the heart of a self-righteous person, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. If you think yourself godly, righteous, and strong, you don't really get to savor his love in full. If you feel that God owes you, you don't even get to taste it, try it, to tempt it. But the one who owns their sinful condition, the one who recognized their ongoing need of Christ, they do. They do. It is into their hearts that the love of God is poured out by the Holy Spirit today. It says in Romans 5, verse 10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." Amen. Notice what Paul is saying. He is saying, in Christ, we are forgiven. He is saying the past is wiped clean. He's saying we are brought into a new relationship with God. And all of this flows from the cross of Jesus Christ. We are reconciled by the death of his Son, but it doesn't end there. No, sir, it doesn't end there. Now that we are reconciled, how much more, look at Scripture, shall we be saved by his life? Reconciled by death, saved by his life. Amen. Church, we serve the risen Savior. Praise God. And by his power, we will be saved. Listen to this. Not only from sin's condemnation, but also from sin itself. When Christ brings you home, and someday he'll bring us all home, but when Christ brings you home, there will not be a trace of sin in or around you. Nowhere. He'll not let you go. He'll never give up. He'll not let you go. He will bring you all the way home. Bring you all the way home. And in a minute or two, as we celebrate communion, let us remember this ritual is a reminder of the depth of God's love for us. I am sure you've heard the common expression, love is blind. Well, God's love is not blind. God's love is not blind. He sees more than any of us see. He sees more and he forgives more. We see less and we forgive less. Because God is love, when we repent, praise God, he forgives us all our sins, all our iniquities, all our trespasses. I want to end with a little cheesy illustration that's been around for many years. You'll have heard it before, but it just worked well. Two girls, two best friends, they're getting ready for the dance. And they're wondering if their dates or their boyfriends really love them. So they tried the old superstitious ritual. They picked a flower from the garden, and they one by one pulled the petals, said, "He loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not." Now, according to this old wife's tale, you know the story, the phrase that corresponds to the last petal pulled is the indication of truth. Now, one of the girls, she was elated because the last petal corresponded with, "He loves me." The other girl, she was disappointed because her last petal was, "He loves me not." Now, one of the girl's little sisters, she was looking in, she was watching this whole thing unfold, and she decided, well, you know, I'm going to have a flower for myself. And she started pulling the petals, and she repeated, "He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me." And her big sister cheekily said, "You're doing it all wrong. If it is he loves me, he loves me not." And the wee sister defiantly says, "I'm doing it right. You see, you're talking about your boyfriend. but I'm talking about Jesus. And then she continued, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, you know. The highest expression of God's love was the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary, amen. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Doesn't love me not, he loves me. Would you stand with us this morning? Let's pause for a moment. We know life's busy. There's lots going on. Once a month we come to this time where we take of the emblems of the table together. And this is so important for us. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. We're remembering his love today for us. In that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. How great the Father's love for you and I is, that he sent his only begotten Son into this cruel world to die the most brutal death for humanity. Because he loves you independently today. Wherever you're standing, whatever your name is, he sees you and he loves you. And because of that, we are truly, genuinely blessed people. So, Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for the cross today. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We're grateful that you allowed your body to be brutalized, go through the most extreme pain that man could ever possibly endure. And while doing all of that, Lord, we're grateful that you were on our minds. You were thinking of us. And we thank you for this day that you've called us to this consecrated, sanctified moment, Lord, to remember Jesus. So we give thanks, Lord, for this little piece of bread represents your body that was broken for us. Scripture says Jesus took the bread and broke it and blessed it and says, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. In the same manner also he took a cup and says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye of it. And we come to the table not despondent. We don't come devastated. We come grateful. With a thankful heart because of what Christ has done for us. He has saved us, changed us, liberated us from the curse of sin, and given us a hope. So, Father, we commit this time to you, and as we worship, Lord, and as we partake of the emblems, as Paul says in Corinthians, let us stock take for a moment, and let us quickly examine our own hearts. Let's examine our minds, our hearts, Father, before you. And let us come to the table with clean hands and a pure heart. The only thing that disqualifies a man, a woman, or child from coming to the table is you've never surrendered your life to Jesus and followed Christ as Lord. But that's something you can do real quickly, even now. You've been coming here and attending for a while, but never said yes to Jesus. You could open your heart to him right now and say, Father, I accept you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I choose to turn away from the things of this world and follow you and make that commitment. So as we come today, we're going to serve you. Hallelujah. We're going to bless you as you partake of these emblems today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. It was pausing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just let his love wash over you. Just let his love wash over you. Let the Holy Spirit pour the love of God into your heart right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. We receive. We receive, we receive, we receive from you. If you keep an eye on Gordon and Daniel and John, they're going to bring you forward one row at a time so there's not a log jam of people. So just watch these guys in the aisles and they'll bring you forward at the appropriate time. Okay, God bless you all.
Oh, the saints and angels, sing, You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. To you are all things, you deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. Day and night, night and day, You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all. To you are all things, You deserve the glory. I exalt thee. I exalt thee.